need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Help.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. And now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind, I've opened up a door. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast, and you're very fortunate to be listening today because this is a first in our podcast that we are talking about one of the Beatle movies, and it's particularly exciting because the Blu-ray of the movie Help just came out, and we're very excited to a couple months ago. Well, everything's relative in podcast time. But we're very excited to be talking about the movie Help because it just, as we just mentioned, it came out a new release, and there's a bunch of extras and special features that we want to get into, and plus it's interesting to talk about a movie. And for the if you're listening to our podcast, you know that, and you're a Beatles fan of any stripes here, you know that the Beatles have five movies. And the first one was Hard Day's Night, and this was the second one, the movie Help, released in 1965. I don't know, I think its reputation, would you say, has been up and down through the years?
Yeah, I'd say definitely. I mean, it depends on your taste in plot line that makes sense. It depends on your, you know, it depends on what you appreciate in a movie. This film is probably, I would say, not by all standards, not quite as good as A Hard Day's Night is, which is, you know, a terrific movie, actually. And Roger Ebert gave A Hard Day's Night 4 stars and, you know, that kind of thing. But Help has a lot of great parts to it. Mm-hmm. I think in the overall wash, it comes out with a thumbs up. For me, but yeah. And I would guess from you as well.
Yeah.
And it was definitely an enjoyable watch when I did this rewatch. I know you just did a rewatch of it too, mm-hmm. in preparation for the podcast. It's definitely like a pretty enjoyable film. I think and one of the bonus features, the actress Eleanor Brun. Says, like, well, there's a lot of great asides and fun things in this movie. And I think that's the, you know, you mix that with the Beatles singing.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's a good combo.
And some great visual stuff, and it makes for a pretty good, overall, like, throwaway type movie.
So. Yeah, that's true. Just a little about the background of it. It was, as Chris said, it was the second movie after A Hard Day's Night, which, if you've seen that, you know it's really a day in the life of the Beatles. They're fictionalized a little bit, but it's pretty close to what they were like. And so for this one, they wanted to change the whole idea behind it and make it more of a story. Now, we can debate that story particularly, but there is a plot, loosely, in Help, and it was just a little bit more, I don't know, I'd say more movie-like instead of documentary-like. So you actually, you know, they have lines to learn, and it's a little bit more, it's supposed to be a little more professional. And certainly it had more money. It's in color, and is very beautifully transferred in the new Blu-ray as well as the DVD. So just a very different time. And as we're going to talk about, we're going to go through all of the songs in the movie and talk about some of the scenes that they're in.
And yeah, this will be interesting because we'll not really talk about the songs so much. If we like the songs or don't like the songs, we'll talk about what they look like and the sequences, and if we like the sequences.
Right, kind of yeah, what they're doing.
So, that'll be a fun thing to do. Anyway, yeah, Richard Lester directed this film. He had directed the first their first film as well. I think he does a great job both of them, and you know, and obviously stars the four Beatles, but also stars a guy Leo McKern, who plays the sort of evil guy out to get their one of the evil people out to get their this ring that Ringo's wearing.
Yeah, actually, why don't you want to summarize the plot real quickly, just for those who haven't seen the movie.
Okay, well, the plot is Ringo has a ring and everybody wants it.
Yes. Yeah.
Ah! Damn, spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler.
we should say spoiler alert. If you've not seen Help, if you want to see it before you listen to this, please pause and go watch it. But we're going to give away all the dramatic twists. Yeah. And but anyway, Leo McKern would later become relatively famous in England as Rumpole the Bailey on TV. And it also stars Eleanor Brun, who plays the lady who wears pink leather.
Yes.
and has
a pink
gun.
Yeah.
And also stars Victor Spinetti, John Bluthal, Roy Kinnear, and Patrick Cargill.
So a little trivia for you fans out there. If you want to ask your Beatle expert friends, can you name the three characters that Victor Spinetti played in the Beatles movies? And they're you'll once you see him, you'll know where he is. But we're only going to tell you where he is in Help. And in this case, he plays a mad scientist, which is actually kind of a bumbling scientist more than anything else.
His character name in this one is Foot.
Yes, Foot and Algernon. Yeah,
yeah. Pretty funny. Pretty funny. And then Mal Evans, is uncredited in the film. Mal was a road manager and assistant of the Beatles, and he plays the swimmer that shows up a couple times in the movie. So one thing before we go, we're going to go through just sort of the plot of it. But one other thing was when this film they wanted to make a movie, and they decided that the movie would be called Help. But then there was some sort of copyright thing, like another film called Help was registered. And then Ringo, famously, was like, well, let's call it Eight Arms to Hold You, which they thought, that's going to be a hard song to write. And so they're talking about it and trying to figure it out, and then they see that, why don't you just throw an exclamation point at the end of Help? That way it's a different, technically different than the other Help. Clever. And they were like, great. And apparently they were like, okay, now you got to go write the song. And in one day, they're like, okay, fine. They go off. They write the song and come back with Help, which really is one of their best songs.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Phenomenal tune. But So the film starts with a clang. Clang, who is some sort of odd cult leader or something, and his partner Ame, who for some reason is his partner but is also trying to foil the plot the entire time.
That's true.
And they're going to sacrifice a woman in front of this big eight-armed statue, but they can't sacrifice her because she's not wearing the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, where's the ring at? And then a hard cut to Ringo with a giant ring on his finger playing drums in the first sequence that you see the Beatles, which is the video of Help, which was filmed sort of in black and white, like as if they exist only in black and white or something, and kind of a little shout back to the previous film, I think.
Yeah.
And so obviously they're like, ooh, we know where it is. We're going to go after it.
Yeah. I think in that scene, you see there's some color overlay, and the one big thing you see is Ringo's red ring when he's playing. So there's like, oh, that's where it is. So, yeah, so very, very clever. But yeah, so the title song starts, and that's where things begin, and then you see the Beatles walking down the street, I believe, right? They're going to their house.
Yeah, the Beatles going into their house, and their whole house is like really, really interesting and fun, I think. First thing is they have four doors that just go into this house, and so they each have their own door that's, I think, different colored doors. Mm-hmm. And they go in, and there's a lot of little weird details, like John has a bed that's like in the floor.
Yeah, very cool.
Which is really cool. I think I kind of want one.
I want that too in my house.
They have grass in there. They have Wurlitzer organ. For some reason, all of the sheet music is, instead of sheet music, is comic books. Very like, and you know, watching that, those sequences gives you the idea of like, ooh, this is where they got the idea for the monkeys from. Mm-hmm. Probably was Help and this kind of like, kind of silly, nonsensical type thing.
Yeah.
They in their apartment, there's an attempt on the to get the ring off. Ringo falls on the ground. There's a very funny, actually, and actually kind of one of the real good things about Help, I feel like, is that some of the deadpan comedy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one of the best sequences to me as far as the comedy goes is John picks up the phone like he's going to call for assistance and dials the phone like forever, it seems like. And then everybody else's phones ring.
Yeah.
in the apartment, like just right over there. So
yeah. No, it's just very clever, and a lot of tricks and little gadgets and things in their house. And I think you could see the influence of James Bond films a lot in this movie, which of course James Bond was British too. So you can see a lot of that element to it. There's a lot of these gadgets and foiled plots and things like that. But I think it's interesting that Ringo, and this is a general theme, you already mentioned it, but a theme of this whole movie, is that Ringo is the focus of this movie, as he was, in a way, in A Hard Day's Night, too. Because, of course, he was the one who went off at the end of the movie and was lost when the Beatles couldn't play in A Hard Day's Night because they couldn't find Ringo because he went away. And so it's the same kind of thing here. Who knew that Ringo would be the acting Beatle as it started?
Yeah, I think maybe, like everybody was always said, you know, oh, Ringo's the best actor of the Beatles.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Ringo mistakenly later in his life was like, oh, I'm a pretty good actor. I should be in movies.
Yeah.
Because he made some real duds like Caveman and a couple things like that.
Yeah.
So
it all goes back to Help here. So.
But yeah, but and quite frankly, he is the best actor in the
yeah.
If I have a problem with this movie, I mean, they were pretty high when they made the movie.
That's another point that we should make, is that yeah, they definitely were into marijuana pretty heavily, and in some of the special features they talk about that, and it's pretty clear. Certainly, yeah. This is a time of Help and Rubber Soul and experimentation and things, and there's a lot of giggling, a lot of laughing.
I think the four of them come off almost personality-less at times, and just kind of like walking around and running around and doing whatever. Yeah. There are a couple times when, you know, you get like a flash or two from John of like real cleverness, or from George.
Yeah.
But and absolutely zero. Paul, who's hands down the worst actor of the four, no question.
You think so?
A terrible actor.
Yeah.
Well, someday we'll do a "Give My Regards to Broad Street."
Do we have to?
Which is going to be no one will listen to that one.
No,
but but yeah, he's pretty listless. Yeah. I think they're all kind of just kind of like sleepy-eyed and kind of, but they made a movie that they don't need to have personalities.
That's true.
Any, you know, kind of like anything. There's a little sequence out on the street when they're all trying to leave where the guy is like, are you a Beatle?
Run into the Leo McKern character, and some of his henchmen are all out there, and they're trying to get them, and more plots, more hilarity ensues, a chase scene.
Yeah.
Driving Herod's van and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. Herod's.
Mm-hmm.
But the where they were going is to the studio. The next thing we see is them in the studio playing You're Gonna Lose That Girl. So let's listen to a little bit of You're Gonna Lose That Girl, and then we'll describe the scene.
You're gonna lose that girl.
Yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose.
Yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
If you don't take her out tonight, she's gonna change her mind.
She's gonna change her mind.
And I will take her out tonight, and I will treat her kind.
I'm gonna treat her kind.
You're gonna lose that girl.
Yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose. If you don't treat her right, my friend, you're gonna find her
you're
gone.
Gonna find her gone.
'Cause I will treat her right, and then you'll be the lonely
you're
one.
Not the only one.
You're gonna lose that
yes,
girl.
Yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose.
Yes, yes, you're
that
gonna girl. Lose that girl.
You're gonna lose.
Yes, yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
Yeah, such a great song to begin with. It's always been one of my favorites. And the scene is really beautifully done in the movie because they're in the studio and there's this Ringo smoking, and you can see the smoke from his cigarette that is just makes this blue sort of pretty light or a haze or through the light. And it's really a very artfully done scene of them recording.
This is one of the most beautiful sequences in the film. And watching it on Blu-ray was especially interesting because it was like you could actually see through the microphone John singing into sort of like a two-sided like ribbon-type microphone with the ribbon. And you can see the like circle in the middle of the microphone through the... it's just so beautiful. And it really... put you in the mind of like, oh, these really are the first music videos.
Yeah, right.
And Richard Lester and one of the extras had a hilarious line, which was he got an award that was from MTV during one of the music awards. They sent Richard Lester a thing saying, Richard Lester, father of MTV. And Richard Lester says, I always say that I sent it back immediately demanding a paternity test. But it is kind of true. These sequences and the beautiful visuals of them were kind of like precursors of like music videos.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Very artfully done. But of course, this is a zany plot. So what's happening the whole time is that one of the henchmen people is cutting... around Ringo so that he's going to fall
on the floor.
He's going to, cutting around him on his stool on the floor. So eventually he drops through at the end because they were wondering that the line the engineer kept saying, you guys are going to have to do it again because we keep hearing buzzing. There's a buzz. And it turns out it's a chainsaw that's cutting or a saw that's cutting Ringo. So of course he falls and it's pretty funny and that goes on to the next scene.
This is kind of an odd little section here because they go into this thing and they're like, they are talking about Orientals and stuff like that. So it's a little bit of dated,
a little dated.
Racism a little bit, but what would now be racism. But at the time, really wasn't intended that way. They go in and there's a belly dancer and...
Yeah, it's an Indian store.
Indian store, and at some point, they go into a different place, but it's like they were talking about Orientals, but they're in an Indian place. Yeah. So it's a little weird. But anyway, the Indian, there are people playing Indian instruments, and this is one of the most fun things when you watch this, is they're playing A Hard Day's Night.
Yes.
In the Indian. So there are all these songs, these Beatles songs throughout the film, that are played in like... I think at one point, A Hard Day's Night or something like that, it's more of a like doobie doo 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 type song, yeah. You know,
yeah.
Like 60s, sort of like 50s, 60s, sort of like
yeah,
fast moving type English movie music. So that's pretty interesting. A woman starts dancing with Paul, basically tells him the plot of what's going on,
because
mm-hmm. otherwise they would have no idea that somebody's chasing them and all this stuff.
And we should mention that at this point, that with the Indian music, that was very influential on George, because he...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the first places he heard or had even saw the instruments there. So as we know, George became very interested in Indian music, and it can partially be traced back to this movie and that scene.
There's another little thing in that sequence, too, which is in the soup.
Oh, yeah.
John
yeah.
pulls out... glasses, mm-hmm. and they're the famous circle glasses that he's
yep.
always wearing, and he wears them in a couple little sequences.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. Well, anyway, so then they go to a ring specialist, and it's a sort of a short scene, but it has one of my favorite lines in the movie, which is John just goes, "Jeweler, you failed," and then later And then they go to scientists immediately after, and then he goes, "Scientists, you're getting nowhere." So I like that he only calls people by their job titles. Those scientists trying to get his ring off become obsessed with the ring too.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, the ring would give them world power or something like
yes.
that. So now they've got another set of people chasing them, and then they go back to the apartment. And they just kind of lazy around, and they play another song. So let's play that song.
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on, feeling 2 foot small. I can see them laugh at me, and I hear them say.
Yeah, so you see here, you've got to hide your love away, and it's an interesting scene because you have the girl who's in there. And well, first, yeah, they are just sort of lounging around lazily.
Randomly. Yeah, like, what's she doing over there? Why is she just hanging out with them now? And...
Yeah, just hanging out. Weird. The one who told them about the plot. And John's playing his 12-string acoustic. And there's then at the
playing
end.
Playing it like this.
Yeah, he's
too,
playing
like
it
holding
sitting
it
down.
Straight up.
Right.
Sitting down, but sort of playing it
yeah.
like uncomfortably. Like.
Yep. Yeah, so it's kind of strange. And then the weirdest thing at the end of the song, you know, is the famous flute solo. And all of a sudden, there's this little guy who comes out and plays flute with a hat on. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's very 60s. You had to be there. But cool place to hear the song, at least. And it is one of John's great mid-period Beatles songs. So that happens.
And then there's this silly intermission for no good reason. That puts you in the mind of sort of Monty Python movies where there'd be silly, like, intermissions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then it's just, like, very, very strange. Oh, and then they go, for some reason they cut to the girl that was going to get sacrificed at the beginning, like her 24 hours are up or something. So they're, and the big thing is about having red paint on for the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So you see her just in a bath getting the red paint. Like,
yeah.
Like, you're fine now.
Yep.
Which seems like it doesn't matter, but then later there's a lot of them trying to get Ringo red to get him ready for the sacrifice.
Yeah.
There's this really, really silly sequence where Paul shrinks.
Yeah. Oh, I like that sequence. But I didn't realize you thought Paul was such a bad actor.
Oh yeah, he's pretty bad. There's one funny thing he does later, which I'll bring up when it happens. But the scientists show up, and the other people show up trying to get red paint on Ringo, and Paul's very short. I think there's the wasn't like oranges shooting out of the
the machine, yeah.
Machine, vending, they're very bizarre vending machines.
Yeah. Very bizarre. And Paul turns into a little midget because the woman tries to give Ringo uses a syringe to inject Ringo with something and misses Ringo's leg and actually hits Paul instead. And so that's how he became tiny. And he's swimming around in an ashtray.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So there's everybody's after him, and so you just get the sense they try to escape by running away to a faraway place. All of a sudden they're in the Swiss Alps. As if no time has passed. As if it was like, oh, let's go to the Swiss Alps, and then they're just at the Swiss Alps.
No, they're just there.
Kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
And it immediately goes into a brilliant skiing sequence, which is the cover of the movie, the album, them in these bizarre outfits with extra arm to it, and they play Ticket to Ride. So let's take a little listen to Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, that's a very famous scene and very fun because the Beatles were told by Dick Lester, okay, we're going to do a skiing scene. Have you guys ever skied before? And they all said no. And he said, okay, good. Well, let's go skiing. And so then he pushes them out and starts the cameras rolling. And you can see them flopping around and falling and having a lot of fun. Very early Beatles-y with kind of a lot of like just fun crashes and laughing. And it's a nice scene.
I also wanted to say on the Blu-ray, spectacular looking.
Mm.
At one point, you know, they're just sort of tumbling down the ice, and you can see little bits of ice just flying or snow flying up, and it's just really, really cool and interesting.
Yeah.
And then the one thing that was added to what they shot was they shot, and there were telephone wires that were real ugly, and they took the footage and they added notes to the telephone.
Yeah, like musical notes.
And it's the actual notes of the song that's being sung at the time. So
it's pretty cool.
I like that sequence a lot. I like most of this winter. I don't know why they're there. it makes no sense at all that they go to the Alps all of a sudden. But
there was a quote in the Beatles anthology when they were talking about Help, and I think it was Paul who said, oh, yeah, we had a little bit more money, and we sort of thought, let's go to the Alps. And then they clip and go to the Alps. We'd like to go, we've never been to the Bahamas, so let's go to the Bahamas. And so it was like just fulfilling their wishes. And, yeah, the Alps was part of that random, here we are. But, of course, the whole time the movie still goes on, so there are all these attempts to get Ringo again, which some of them are very funny on the ski lift and...
One of the best ones includes everyone's favorite sport, curling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there's like a bomb that's really just a curling, whatever they are, thing.
Yeah.
And it blows up, and then a swimmer pops up, that's Mal Evans, and it's like, White Cliffs of Dover? And then one of them just points that way, which is kind of one of the funniest little lines in the movie.
And then
at one point they go to this thing and there's this big rally or whatever and there's a marching band.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look carefully, it's the Beatles all dressed up as the marching people with weird symbols that like aren't really symbols and things. And then all of a sudden they're in Scotland Yard because they're like, all right, we've got to get these guys or something. So they list Scotland Yard to try to help them. And the guy calls, or the phone rings, and he pretends to be the Beatles. This is one of my favorite little bits. And he goes, oh, this is the famous Fab Four, Gear Fab, Gear. Which is pretty funny, because he's trying to do a Ringo impression. Mm-hmm. So. Like, they're going to protect the Beatles. So they get a giant army to put around them. So they're out in a field.
Yes.
Well, while they're out in the field, they play two songs pretty much back to back. And it's I Need You and The Night Before. Let's hear just a little bit of each of them.
You don't realize how much I need you. Love you all the time, I never leave you. Please come on back to me. I'm lonely as can be. I need you. Said you had a thing. We said our
Well, this is a very long sequence in the movie, and for me, it drags a little bit. The suspense is really gone at this point. It's like they're just trying to drag it out about keeping Ringo safe. So the, you know, for example, you have the cult people are trying to build another bomb to blow up Ringo and get the ring again. It just seems to, they're in a tank. It just seems to strain your believability a bit too much. For me, at least, I've always gotten kind of bored during that whole sequence. I like those songs, though.
My biggest problem is that why did they do, you know, they did seven songs, and they did all the rest of them in all these different places. And they could have figured out a way to do not just both two songs in one place.
Yeah.
Because they pretty much filmed exactly the same. One of them's obviously in there because it's a George song, and
the first George song in a movie, the first Harrison song in one of their movies, which is, it's a great tune too.
It's a great tune, and I mean, it's not like they should cut it, but maybe one of those should have been at Scotland Yard or something like that. And then I think The Night Before is filmed just slightly better. There's a couple great shots of iconic shots of like a close-ups of the bass.
Yeah, the Hofner bass.
The Hofner bass, which are just so beautiful looking. Yeah, yeah. And then some pretty good shots of John on the keys on that one. So that's pretty good.
I would say in general.
But then it's like explosions missing them, and then they run into the, and there is one cool sequence where they're in a tank, and then it goes through a hay bale, and then it explodes, and you're like, oh, they're dead. But then, of course, they hopped out in the hay bale, and they're hiding in the hay bale.
Yeah.
So it's a weird kind of, not my favorite part of the film at all.
No.
I like that then they're like, oh, that's too much stress. Let's go hang out. And then they're at, like, Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, right.
Like, where they usually hang out.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, then they go to the palace. They try to talk Ringo into chopping his finger off. That was kind of weird. And
there's
then,
a funny scene when they're playing cards, and they keep talking about cutting Ringo's finger off. He only need to drum with four. You don't need five. Some funny gags in there.
And then the scientists show up dressed as guards and try to. There's a whole bunch of hijinks of guards and people being actually kind of strangled to death, and, you know,
with hose,
that kind of thing.
Gas hoses, and so,
And then there's this weird sort of, like, slow-mo sequence.
Oh, yeah, with the,
like,
the
lasers. It's very strange. And they blow the royal fuse, which I think is hilarious.
Yep.
All the lights go out. And so they're running away from there, and then they pop into a pub. In the pub, there's a trap door. Of course, Ringo sits conveniently right on the trap door. and the trapdoor goes down, and Ringo goes down, and all of a sudden there's a tiger.
And I will say the trapdoor, the way it starts out is pretty fun, or the way you get the trapdoor, because it's you pull your beer glass down, and there you go. But yeah, then all of a sudden Ringo's down in the basement here with a tiger.
Now there's two things I like about this sequence. One is somebody tries to signal to George that like we've got a plan going on, and George just says to that, "I'm always getting winked at these days. Yeah. Used to be you, didn't it, Paul?" Which I thought was a hilarious line.
That is.
And then I do like how do we get out of the tiger thing? Mm-hmm. Well, everybody needs to sing Ode to Joy to the tiger.
Do you know Beethoven's Ninth Symphony? Yeah, and then they start.
So everybody sings that, mm-hmm. and everybody at the bar, and everybody in all of the world,
yep.
in the stadiums, and I think that was just hilarious.
That's a great scene. And then all of a sudden,
then they go to the airport.
They're at the airport.
Screw it. Let's go to the Bahamas
in disguise. Yeah,
that's pretty funny. They have funny little disguises on all mm-hmm. of them. Then they go to the Bahamas. And there's a blimp. And
they really just threw everything in there.
There's a small plane with a big ladder gag.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like, which I really liked because I'm like, this has nothing to do with any of the movie.
No.
A funny gag, you know.
Now, the funny thing was they wanted to go to the Bahamas because they thought it would be nice and warm, but it actually turned out to be very cold there. So, and it was also very cold in the field, too, so... It's just interesting. It didn't go as planned here. So the Beatles look cold in the Bahamas when they're riding bikes and they keep circling and they just look very cold because it was.
There's one more gag in the airport, which is like the inspector comes off from Scotland Yard and he's like, "Okay, here are the people going to be helping you." Or it's PC-42. PC-67. Thank you. But it's just the same three or four people, but they just keep running to the end of the line. Pretty good. And then we go right into another sequence, and this one takes place on the rocks near water, and we'll talk about it after we hear a little bit of Another Girl.
For I have got another girl, another girl, making me say that I've got nobody but you. But as from today, well, I've got somebody that's new. I ain't no fool and I don't take what I don't want, for I have got another girl, another girl. She's sweeter than all the girls and I
met. Well, another great song, and I think what stands out in that sequence is how they keep trading instruments. And so, like, Paul will be playing, well, he plays the woman.
There's a lot of beautiful women in this sequence, which I like. And then at one point, Paul's playing a woman as if she's the bass.
Yes. Yeah.
However, he's playing her right-handed,
I think, which is weird. Actually, yeah. Like, yeah, you're right.
It just occurred to me. That's weird.
Yeah. But anyway. They're playing each other's instruments. So John's playing drums, and George is playing John's guitar, and they're just having a lot of fun out there by the beach and by the water.
Yeah, and they're on the water and the rocks of the water and everything, and it's so beautiful, so well done. And they were talking about how they filmed this thing and then they put it through color treatments. So, like, a certain section of it looks really, really blue, and a certain section of it looks really, really, like, sort of more yellowish. And it's really a beautiful... And that's on the original film. Like, mm-hmm. once the film was printed, it's not like today you just run that and digitally alter it and do whatever you want to it, but that they had to do it back in those days in a specific way, and that the guy who was filming it, not Richard Lester, but the DP, which whose mind escapes me right now, director of photography, was willing
David
to take
Watkin.
David Watkin. Was his first color film, and he was willing to take sort of risks. And I feel like the whole movie plays with color a lot more than movies today don't really do that. Like, ooh, let's really like goof with the colors and that of the look of the film, you know.
Yeah, so. It's very visually interesting. I think that that is the message that you get there, and that's a good scene for it. And so you have that scene, and then really the ending of the movie is one last attempt that by the scientists and the cult leaders, the cult people, to get Ringo. And there's a lot more hijinks in a car. And
there's a first they go in a rock cave, and the temple's in there for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
They move, and then they're like, oh, we moved the temple, which is insane. And then they swim, and then they bike. Oh, I wanted to mention that there's a bike sequence where there's a bike, and then I think Paul says, like, come here, you know, like whistles for the bike to come to it or something. And then it just kind of falls over, I think. They trick them with a feet. The blimp comes back in, and they have the guy hanging by the blimp and doing fake feet all over the place that are in pain.
Like a path.
And this tricks all the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
They follow the thing into a cage, basically, and the scientists get Ringo at that point. And then George is in there's a great sequence with George in the back of a car, trying to see, get these guys,
with
and
the
these
scientists.
Guys with the scientists run off the road into a tree.
Yeah.
And George was really excited to film some of these like sequences, apparently, when he was on the back of the thing. And there's a funny thing where Ringo's in the trunk
because they kidnap
the plants. They like get Ringo out of there. He opens up the trunk and Ringo's there. And instead of them just running away, he gets the he loosens up the car wheels, and then the car wheels just come off, and it's like 2 feet later, and then they're like done, and then they run away.
Yeah.
So it's like, what was the point of all of that? It's just very funny.
And so basically, the movie ends with them out on the beach again for one last time, but then it turns out that the paint, if I remember correctly, the paint goes onto the cult leader instead of on Ringo. And so then suddenly he's now the sacrificial guy.
Yeah, there's a statue in the water.
Right.
And they're about to get Ringo. And Ringo moves his hand and the ring just kind of flies off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After all this stuff.
They couldn't get it
and
off
so
the whole
he
movie.
Turns and he puts the ring on that guy.
Yeah.
They put the paint on him. And then there's bedlam. All of everybody is on the back on the beach, like tripping each other and sort of fighting each other and stuff. The Beatles are far down the beach, and then they come back and get re-involved with it.
Yeah.
The swimmer comes back up again, and there's another swimming gag.
No,
so it's just
awful.
The silliness as the credits roll and help plays and all that kind of.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the story. So the good guys win out in the end, and that's the moral of the story. But I think, as we've mentioned a few things, just to, as we sum up some of the important aspects of the movie, the great soundtrack, certainly, as a big part of it. The color aspect, the Indian influence. Drugs definitely were a factor here, and now if you didn't know that, and now you watch the movie, I think you'll really see that. When I would show this movie in my Beatles class, the students were with it for a little while, and then I think they got a little bit bored, and there's a pacing issue here, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. There was some point of the film, and I definitely turned, I was watching this with somebody, and I turned and said, like, is this over yet? You know, how much longer we got of this? You know, there is a little bit of like, and it's the same kind of thing. And it's a victim really of like, well, it couldn't really make the Beatles actors and give them personalities and have more of a storyline and more of a plot or more of a like wants and obstacles and things like that. It's just a chase, one big long chase movie. So it's kind of, it loses steam, you know.
Yeah.
Where it picks up steam at any point, except for the two sequences in the field, are the songs.
Right.
And the songs play, and the visuals are beautiful. You're just like, oh, I don't care about the movie. It's just great. You know, I don't care about the plot. But yeah. The DVD release now, the Blu-ray, now, it did not add any features from the previous DVD release. What it has is a 30-minute documentary called The Beatles in Help about the making of the film with Richard Lester, cast and crew. Eleanor Brun definitely has a lot of things to say in there. And said some very complimentary things about the Beatles. And I think it's a good, definitely worth a look.
Yeah.
Has some things about them smoking weed, has some details about the filmmaking and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I especially like the lot from Dick Lester. It was very interesting to hear his perspectives on, compared to Hard Day's Night, and I thought he was pretty interesting. And they also had a few other random people, like the makeup lady, had some pretty funny stories about how they had to improvise doing makeup and improvise some set things out on the beach. So I won't spoil it, but it's pretty funny.
There is some historical audio cuts of the Beatles talking about it while they're filming it, kind of. Mm-hmm. And the one I remember most is Ringo being lamenting, like, oh yeah, we're there, and then we're trying to shoot a take, and somebody runs up to us, and it's just a bit much.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's like he's obviously stoned a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a missing scene, which is not a deleted scene. It's a lady who was in the film, came, did this whole thing, and then they explain why the thing didn't work, and that they cut the thing, and she was kind of sad because she wasn't in the actual movie, but when they did the restoration, they sent her all these stills, and she just sort of like reframed it as like, well, it was great. I got to hang out with the Beatles for a couple days, and you know, that kind of thing.
And she was actually a famous person, Wendy Richard, who later became famous in Are You Being Served, the British sitcom. That's where she really got her fame. So it would have been interesting to see if she had been see that original scene, but unfortunately it's missing.
We have Memories of Help, a cast and crew reminiscence, which is kind of a nice thing. You know, a couple people saying, I remember, just telling a couple stories.
Yeah, the stunt doubles are kind of funny. They have two stunt doubles who are in there, and they tell some humorous stories too about the pratfalls.
And then the restoration of Help, an in-depth look at the restoration process. I like film. I love the Beatles. I could not get through this. It was so boring. I literally was watching it. It's about 15 minutes long, too. Oh. About like they run the film through this, and that takes the scratches away. But then you want to keep some of the scratches because, you know, you want it to look authentic, and some of the stretches were intended, and you're just like, blah, blah. Nobody cares. I really wanted to care, too. I was like, and then there's three theatrical trailers, which show sort of the marketing campaign of the thing. And then there's also some 1965 radio spots, which are hidden in the menus, which I did not bother and dig and try to find out.
No.
Now, there's also a very lovely book.
Yes.
Which is included, which has an interview, or a not really an interview, but
an essay by
Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
About the film, and he really likes the film a whole lot. And some beautiful pictures.
Yeah.
In there as well. So what is missing from it, if in my opinion, is either Paul or Ringo being interviewed, in the Magical Mystery Tour one, apparently there's a audio commentary by Paul.
Right.
Why not include that here? Or why not do a Richard Lester audio commentary? Or why not do a Ringo audio commentary?
Yeah.
I think it's definitely worth a purchase. As a film, it's probably a C plus.
I'd give it about a B minus. Yeah, I'd say B minus. Yeah.
But it was definitely a good experience to watch it, and especially the musical sequences are just like so great. And some of the comedy's pretty good, too.
Yeah, and I wonder if some of it is just the fact that it was 40-plus years ago, or, you know, it was, well, 50 years ago almost, because my parents actually told me they went and saw the movie in the theater when it came out, because, of course, the Beatles were so popular. And she said everyone in the theater was just laughing like crazy, so... maybe it was that particular time with all the James Bond stuff and all the mystery and, you know, that kind of genre was really big. So it could be a time thing, but I think a lot of it holds up pretty well. It does drag for me, as I mentioned, and there's some stuff that I would probably cut. But I think overall, yeah, I'd give it a B minus.
C plus for me.
C plus for you. Yeah, you're not quite gonna
those dragging points in the.
Yeah.
I just think maybe they could have, like, spent a little more time and energy in giving it, particularly the Beatles acting.
Yeah.
They're just kind of, sometimes they're just kind of mumbling, like, blah, 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 and you can barely hear what they say. And it's like, just reshoot that 12 times until they get it right, until they say something crisply and funnily, you know? So... there's a couple of things like that that really take away from me, but I like it.
Yeah. So go out and get that new Blu-ray reissue of Help and let us know what you think. We're going to eventually discuss all the 5 Beatle movies, and this is our first one because it's pretty recently been released, so re-released, I should say. So let's say share with us your comments, and
as always, you can follow us on Facebook, follow me at Chris D. Bragg on Twitter. Let's go out with just a little bit more of Ticket to Ride, and
sounds good. And we'll,
this is Chris and Dave signing off for I've Got a Beatles podcast.